check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of College Basketball Recruiting Weekly. It is rankings week here at 24/7 Sports, and that means we have a mini episode coming out three times this week. This is the last of those three as we focus on the class of 2026. Now, what does it mean to be ranked as a high school sophomore? Not really a whole heck of a lot. And we're the people who do the ranking. So to put it in perspective, because that's most important here, if you are one of the 80 players who has been recognized this early on in the process, congratulations. But what is most important, far more important than seeing your name on that list, is that you approach it with humility, that you continue to work hard, harder than you ever have before, in fact, and take your games to new levels and understand that you really haven't achieved anything yet. All you have is a little bit more of an opportunity than the next guy because your talents are obvious at an early age, so congratulations for that. If you are one of the players who was not ranked yet, please recognize that the vast majority of players who have gone on to stardom, whether it's in college basketball or the NBA, have not yet been identified by the time they are sophomores in high school. So this is just the first step of the first lap in the race. There is a lot of basketball left to go, so whether you are on this list or not, keep it all in perspective. With that in mind, I'm going to turn the rest of the show over to my colleagues, Eric Bossy, Travis Branham, and Brandon Jenkins, to break down the best of who we know about thus far in the class of 2026.
Obviously, we've got a new number one in the class of 2026 with Brandon McCoy, switching spots with Tyron Stokes. Brandon, I want to go to you on this one first. What was it about Brandon McCoy that ultimately we decided to give them the edge for the number one spot?
Yeah, I think it was his combination of production and upside. You know, Bossy, I know me and you went to go watch him at the Damien Classic. And I think he not only wowed folks just with his athleticism and his feel for the game, but also his ability just to check all boxes on the floor just to help his team win games. I mean, I think we rank him as a point guard, but there were times where he was playing off the ball and he was still able to leave a huge imprint on the game without him even having the ball in his hands throughout the whole entire time. And then when you factor in his ability to guard the ball, whether he's guarding off the ball or, you know, getting stops while guarding his man, I think he takes pride in locking down on the defensive end. He knows how to get stops. He has active hands, and he just plays with a certain level of aggression on both ends of the floor that just makes you believe that he can maintain this spot moving forward. Now, obviously, I know that there's 2 years to go, and he has a lot of pressure on him, but he's one who I think, you know, cares about putting the work in, and I think he's going to be one that makes us look smart for banking on him at this point in time.
Yeah, no doubt. He's got a certain maturity about him that is really obvious and plain to see. And that's really special. When we're talking about young guys, you know, there's no need to get too high or too low on these rankings right now because they're so young. But, you know, obviously, Travis, I want to turn to you on this. With Tyron, when you make that move and you drop down a spot from number one to number two, certainly the race is far from over and he's still a super talented guy. What could Tyron Stokes do to maybe turn it kind of back in his favor and get him back into the top spot?
I think the thing he can improve most on is just becoming more consistent and reliable. And a lot of that will have to do with just becoming a more mature basketball player. We've watched so much of Tyron in this prolific team this year and over the summer, and it's becoming evident. One bad play out of Tyron can really impact the next two or three plays at this stage. And so that's something we're going to be monitoring and would like to see him come more out. And just like you said, these kids are young. They still got a long way to go, a lot of maturing to do both on and off the court. So Tyron's got time on his side. And like you said, it's still a super talent. And just offensively, things that I'd also like to see is just continue to tighten his handle. I think you can see him get a little loose and sloppy with it, especially when he's trying to use his left hand a little bit more. And then, as always, across the board with every single player, can always become a better shooter, more reliable, more consistent from three. So just a variety of things, but really, to me, honing in on that maturity and not letting one bad play out of him or a teammate or anybody like that, allowing that to impact the next play or the next two or three after.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially because with Tyron, he's a guy that we can all see the physical talent, the athleticism, the ability to even as a sophomore muscle up on guys. And one thing that he can really turn to more is the guy is a gifted playmaker for others when he's engaged and on top of things. And that's a place where he can develop, is when maybe his jump shot's not falling or he's having a little trouble getting to the rim. Turn and start making plays for other, and returns, it'll do some things easier for him.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Now moving on, both of those guys are in California, right? The state of California, at least early on, is looking like it might be a really special class. Not only do you have those guys in the top two spots in the class, we've got Elijah Arenas at number 4, Jason Crow at number 5, and Taj Ariza at number 10. So we've got 5 kids from the state of California, 4 of them in SoCal. Well, actually, I guess 3 of them in SoCal, because both Randall Coy is actually from Oakland, even though he's playing in SoCal. But regardless, 5 Californians in the top 10. You know, let's work through. We've got Taj Ariza at number 10. Travis, tell us a little bit about Taj and what makes him stand out.
Well, of course, he is the son of Trevor Ariza. And when you see him with his dad on the sidelines, I mean, you can tell where he gets these genetics. 6'6", 6'7", big wing, long arms. Great athlete, very fluid, and also has explosiveness. Skilled ball handler, very comfortable putting the ball in the deck and making plays off the bounce. Knockdown shooter from 3, shows flashes of ability and feel as a playmaker and passer. This is a kid that when we fast forward here in about another year towards the end of summer, he could make a jump up into this top 5, and we could see California just owning this top 5. But the one thing that we're really wanting to see more out of him, and it's been the case for the last year and a half, 2 years, but again, talking about young players, is just his overall motor and aggression out on the court. There's a lot of times you will go out there and watch him. He's just out there kind of coasting and floating around, but he's always good for about 1 or 2 plays, even when he's playing, he's coasting like he can. You'll always be good for 1 or 2 super highlight plays where he'll just catch you by surprise. Maybe it's in transition. I remember one time going behind the back and just rising up for a monster dunk. So just all the talent, all the tools are there. It's just a matter of just piecing it all together and just playing with the consistent motor and competitiveness.
Brandon, I know you got a chance to see Jason Crow during the winter. We sent you over. You went over there and watched him on your own while we're out at the Damien Classic after Christmas. What about him makes him a top 5 player in the class at this point?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because you see Jason Crow on social media and he always explodes for these big, you know, 40 and 50 point games. You know, at this point, I think it's safe to say that 40 and 50 point games, he gets those with regularity playing with his Linwood High School team. But the thing that stands out to me was the other settings that I've seen him in, you know, prior to the high school season, watching him at USA Basketball, seeing how lethal he is as a shooter, seeing him, you know, compete with other great players, you know, with his high school. He has a very high usage rate. He faces double, triple teams, boxes and ones, you know, things of that nature, and is still able to get his game off. But it was good to see him at USA Basketball where he can play along like talent and also get his game off playing on and off the ball. He's a really great shooter. He's seen a lot of defensive coverages, so he knows how to score the ball against various defenses from all 3 levels of the floor. You know, you mentioned the pedigree with Taj Ariza. He has a pedigree of his own. His dad played high-level college basketball and was a professional in his own right. You know, so he's getting coached well. I think he has enough feel for the game for even if he does continue to, you know, play in high usage rates, he has enough basketball feel to know how to play with other like talent and also, you know, how to thrive and, you know, consistently be productive on the offensive end.
And no doubt, when he does it, he plays fast at all times too. His ability to process at full speed is something else. Now, we've got another son of an NBA player with Elijah Arenas, who's checking in at number 4 overall. Elijah is a 6'5" shooting guard, the son of Gilbert Arenas, who everybody knows was a big-time scorer in his day and certainly you know, he's got those same characteristics as his dad. Now, he's not playing at like a big name high school or anything like that. He's at his local school in Chatsworth. But again, just he's another that's just putting up absurd numbers as a sophomore in high school. 40-point games, 50-point games are things that he does on the regular, and he makes it look easy. He's got tremendous size. He's got long arms. I think he's a lot more athletic than people have really given him credit for being, not just in like a layup line or open floor flashy kind of way, but in a when he's in tight spaces and when he's getting bumped and things like that. He's got functional athleticism, strength to fight through those things. You combine that with the ability to score at all three levels, a tight handle, and all the confidence in the world, and you've got a guy who, you know, we can see is really not just a name. You know, he's got the game to back it all up, and certainly another exciting guy that we're going to keep track of in the state of California moving forward.
All right, everybody, thank you as always for watching College Basketball Recruiting Weekly in the special rankings mini episodes this week. We started on Monday with the class of 2024. On Wednesday, it was 2025. And today, Friday, it is 2026. Make sure you see all those updated rankings and all of the content around them on the site, 247sports.com. And keep it locked right here on the 247 Sports channel for much more video content in the coming days and weeks ahead.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.